This is the year of the great flood of Hollywood movies based on the Bible.
The waters of the heavens will meet the waters of the earth. We build a vessel to survive the storm.
That's Noah, starring Russell Crowe. It floats into theaters this week, and it follows another Bible-based movie released by 20th Century Fox called Son of God. Later this year, we will see Exodus, a 3D epic based on the story of Moses, from director Ridley Scott. NPR's Netta Ulaby wondered why this sudden deluge.
I asked the producer of Son of God that question. Why so many Bible movies in 2014?
It just has to be that God is moving. There's no other explanation for it.
Mark Burnett is a devout Christian who made his name in secular television with shows like The Apprentice and Survivor. But last year, his miniseries, The Bible, drew more than 11 million viewers to the History Channel. Burnett and his wife, Roma Downey, decided to turn it into a film, partly because so many previous Bible movies felt quaint.
Soon to be among us, one whose sandals I am not worthy to carry.
We refer to them as the Donkeys and Sandals movies.
Roma Downey co-produced Son of God.
I grew up in Ireland. We used to sit on the couch every Easter as we were watching the greatest story ever told. You know, it repeated every year with Max von Sydow, and we loved it.
My father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me.
But that movie is almost 50 years old.
Bible movies have been around for as long as there have been movies, says William Romanowski. He's a film professor at Calvin College. He says, historically, Hollywood used Bible movies to get around a strict moral production code.
You could have six reels of tickets selling sinfulness if in the seventh reel, you know, all the sinners came to an end in good triumph over evil.
For example, in a silent film from 1927, Mary Magdalene has a steamy affair with Judas Iscariot. But Bible movies became especially important prestige films in the 1940s and 50s, with Samson and Delilah, Quo Vadis, and Ben-Hur.
There's a wild man in the desert named John who drowns people in water. There's a carpenter's son who goes around doing magic tricks. Miracles.
In the post-war period, Romanowski says Hollywood tried to appeal to what it saw as a large niche audience, urban Catholics, with movies like The Robe and The Song of Bernadette. But starting in the 1970s, evangelical Protestants began to emerge as powerful media consumers.
Why have you forsaken me?
Evangelicals were among those who excoriated The Last Temptation of Christ in 1988 for a controversial dream sequence. Christ abandons the cross, marries Mary Magdalene, and begets children with her. Evangelicals released their own independent faith-based movies, but they usually focused on contemporary life rather than biblical reenactments. Then, 10 years ago, Mel Gibson released The Passion of the Christ.
Faccia musica.
Filmed in Latin, Aramaic, and Hebrew, it remains the biggest independent film ever. Film professor William Romanowski says scholars hotly debated the extent to which its emphasis on Christ's suffering reflected Gibson's conservative Catholic beliefs.
One line in scripture, Pilate had Jesus flogged, became the dramatic cornerstone of the movie.
When you look back at Hollywood's history of making Bible-based movies, you'll see they're often most successful after wars, says Romanowski. Maybe that reflects a hunger for stories people learn as children, something comforting and foundational after collective trauma. And maybe that's what's happening now. But that's the opposite of what director Darren Aronofsky and co-writer Ari Handel wanted to do with Noah. They say it's usually seen as kind of a nursery story.
With animals, it's this sort of kindly gentleman with two giraffes and two elephants sitting on a little toy boat.
Ari Handel says the darkness in the Genesis version is partly what makes Noah timely.
Certainly there's been an interest in apocalyptic stories in recent years, and this is maybe the first apocalyptic story.
It begins.
The movie has stirred up the ire of some conservative Christians who suspect Handel and Aronofsky of using a story about environmental catastrophe to push a liberal message about climate change and conservation. But Handel says the biblical Noah is a tale essentially about stewardship.
You know, at its heart, what do we know about it? It's Noah's sent to save the animals, not just the ones that are useful to mankind or the cuter varieties or the ones that happen to be nearby.
It's the whole ecosystem. Biblical movies tend to reflect the political anxieties of their times, says Professor William Romanowski. Take The Ten Commandments from 1956, he says, starring Charlton Heston, directed by Cecil B. DeMille.
DeMille's film was really a Cold War film. And he, at the beginning of the film, comes out from behind a curtain, stands on a stage, and announces that this is the story of the birth of freedom.
The theme of this picture is whether men are to be ruled by God's law or whether they are to be ruled by the whims of a dictator like Rameses. Are men the property of the state, or are they free souls under God?
Ari Handel says he was not coming out of a terribly religious place with Noah, but when he and Darren Aronofsky were studying the source material and writing the script, he says they understood themselves as participating in the Jewish tradition of Midrash.
It's a dialogue amongst people, and the stories, as you see, what questions are posed by the story, what is unanswered, what seems to be confusing about it. It means that the story is alive.
It's likely that any story that survived for 2,000 years can also withstand what for Hollywood would be a disaster of biblical proportions. Not frogs, locusts, or rain, but even worse, bad box office. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.